Good morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call Senate Finance Committee to order. Time is 5 minutes after 9 a.m. Monday, March 22nd, 2010. With me today is Co-Chair Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, and Senator Egan. We have several bills on the agenda this morning. Senate Bill 144, Musk Ox Permits. Senate Bill 115, Pioneers Home Drug Benefit. Senate Bill 238, Medicaid for Medical and Intermediate Care. Senate Bill 246, Increasing Number of Superior Court Judges. Senate Bill 257, Youth Courts and Criminal Fines. Senate Bill 219, Traumatic Brain Injury Program Medicaid. Senate Bill 237, School Construction Debt Reimbursement. We're going to start today with Senate Bill 144 by Senator Olson regarding Musk Ox Permits. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it at the first time on March 15th. At that hearing, we heard from the sponsor, took public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. The intent today is to adopt the committee substitute, and if members don't have any concerns, look to the will of the committee to present the bill. We have, of course, Senator Olson with us. Senator Hoffman, may have a motion to adopt version E.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 144, Finance / E as our working document.
I'll object for explanation. The committee substitute makes a conforming technical change by adding the word and on page 1, line 15, and on page 2, line 8. I'll go ahead and remove my objection for the adoption of the CS. Do we have further objection on the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, do members have any questions? Further questions? We have one zero fiscal note from the Department of Fish and Game. We had taken public testimony at the last meeting. Do we have any closing comments from the bill sponsor?
Well, I just think that, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that as we look at this bill, it's a cleanup bill. It's obviously musk ox, as was pointed out before, musk ox are treated differently since they're a transplanted animal in most regions of Alaska, at least the new stocks are. And this clears up the ability for hunters, both the subsistence and hunters throughout the state of Alaska, to be able to not have any confusion as they go on out there, and certainly streamline it from the department standpoint because of them having to go ahead and double the paperwork that's there. And just a final note that this was a bill that was requested by the Fish and Game representatives there in department there in Nome.
Okay. And we have a motion, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out to CS for Senate Bill 144 Finance with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay, we have a motion to move the bill version E from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee or referral. Next item up, Senate Bill 215 by Senator Welikowski regarding Pioneer Home Drug Benefits. This is the second hearing on the bill. The first hearing was March 15th. At that hearing, we had heard from the sponsor, took public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. The intent today is to bring the bill back up so members can ask any additional questions and then look to the committee. Do we have any additional questions? We have one zero fiscal note from the Department of Health and Health and Social Services. And we have a motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out Senate Bill 215 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. And
we have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee or referral. Next item up, Senate Bill 238 by Senator Davis regarding Medicaid for intermediate care. This is the second hearing on this bill. The first hearing was on March 15th. At that hearing, we heard from the sponsor and took public testimony and set the bill aside for further review. The intent today is to move the bill from committee unless committee members have other concerns. Do members have additional questions on this bill? We have 10 fiscal note from the Department of Health and Social Services, and we had took public testimony from the last hearing. Senator Davis, do you have any closing comments on this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Betty Davis, Senate K, seat K, and I'm glad that you are able to bring this bill back before us and hope that we will be able to pass it out today. And I thank you for your consideration.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out Senate Bill 238 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with to the next committee of referral. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, with the individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes, do we have objection? Seeing no further objections, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral.
Thank you.
Next item up, Senate Bill 246, increasing the number of Superior Court judges, introduced by the Rules Committee at the request of the court system. This is the second hearing on this bill. The first hearing was on March 12th. At that hearing, we heard from the court system, took public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. We had asked the court system to provide additional information on the number of cases filed per district and how many judges have been added in the last 10 years. That information has been provided by way of a letter in your packet from the court system dated March 16th. The intent today is to give the committee a chance to look to ask the court system for any additional questions and to see if members have other concerns and then take committee action if the committee so chooses. And with us today we have Mr. Liver from the administrative attorney from the Department of Courts. And if you want to maybe briefly touch on your letter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doug Wolliver, administrative attorney for the Alaska Court System. As the committee had requested, it put together a list of by district going back to fiscal year 2000 of the overall Superior Court filings by judicial district. And I have those laid out here. As you can see, it varies a bit from district to district. The third district, where we're looking for the judge, has seen an increase in case filings, but the principal reason for the request for the judge has more to do with more work associated with the cases than the number of cases involved. But I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Committee members have any additional questions for the courts? We have two fiscal notes, one zero note from the Judicial Council, one positive fiscal note for $499,100 in general funds reflecting the cost of the new judge and support staff. We had taken public testimony at the last hearing. Any closing comments from the bills, the courts?
I would just appreciate your consideration for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee pass out Senate Bill 246 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
And we have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next item up, Senate Bill 257 by Senator Egan regarding funding for youth courts. This is the second hearing on this bill. First hearing was March 12th. At that hearing, we heard from the sponsor, took public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. My intent today is to move the bill from committee unless there's other concerns that are brought forward by committee members. Senator Egan, do you have any initial comments?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Dennis Egan, District B, I just want to thank the committee for listening to the presentation on Senate Bill 257 and will provide continue to provide funding for Alaska's youth courts, and I appreciate a favorable vote. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We have 3-0 physical notes in your packet, one from the Department of Law, one from the Department of Health and Social Service, and one from the court system. The committee took public testimony at the last hearing. Do we have any final questions or concerns? Seeing none, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Finance Committee pass out Senate Bill 257 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral. Next up, Senate Bill 219 by Senator McGuire regarding traumatic brain injuries. This is the second hearing on this bill. We had the first hearing on March 15th. At that hearing, we heard from the sponsor, took public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. The intent today is to bring the bill back for the purposes of adopting a committee substitute and taking additional testimony and look to the will of the committee and to present the bill. We have representation from the Senator McGuire's office, but first I want to go ahead and adopt the CS. Senator Hoffman may have a motion to adopt the Finance Committee substitute version S.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Finance Committee adopts CS for Senate Bill 219/S as a working document.
And I'll object for explanation. At the request of the sponsor, the definition of case management service on page 2, line 3, has been amended. There is a document in your packet summarizing that the change, and Senator McGuire's staff can provide further explanation. If you want to introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and make a comment on the CS, please.
For the record, my name is Esther Chaw, staff to Senator McGuire. As you have in front of you, we have a summary of changes, and on section 3 on page 2, we amended the definition of case management services for traumatic or acquired brain injury to services furnished to assist individuals who reside in a community setting or who are transitioning to a community setting to gain access to needed medical, social, educational, and other available services. We also deleted the subsections from Alaska Statute 47.07.030 A, B, C, and D from version E, which is on page 2, line 25 through page 3, line 5. And this change was based on testimony from the Department of Health and Social Services. The original definition was slightly amended in the Health and Social Services Committee hearing. However, the department's attorney general stated that the definition of case management would still conflict with the federal definition. And the department was uncertain as to whether or not the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services would affect it, therefore putting in jeopardy the ability to get federal matching for funding. And the definition is, again, verbatim from the federal statute. Consequently, it should not complicate the process when the department submits an amendment to the state's Medicaid plan. And the department would probably be the best to answer as to whether or not how this would change implementation of the definition. But that is the reasoning behind it.
I'll go ahead and remove my objection. Do we have further objection for adoption of the CS?
We have a brief at ease.
We'll have a brief at ease. and remove my objection to the adoption of CS, version S, and we have an amendment, amendment number one. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I move amendment number one.
I'll object for discussion.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, at this time, I propose an amendment to amendment number one.
Okay. And I'll object for discussion. Explanation, please.
Okay, if you refer to amendment number one on the first line where it says page four, change that to page three. And where it says line 6 through 7, change that to line 27 and 28. So it's page three, lines 27 and 28.
Because the amendment is written to version E.1, where we're on version S. So I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the amendment on the amendment. Any further objection on the amendment of the amendment? Seeing none, we have now amended amendment number one. We're back to the amendment number one. We have, I'll sustain my objection and ask for an explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a simple amendment, and it addresses some of the testimony we heard reference helmets, and this takes away the mandating helmet provision that would have been incorporated into the bill.
We have any further questions on the amendment? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the question I had was, it slipped my attention that there was a provision that did have a mandated helmet portion to it. But you say this does away with that?
This takes that away.
So it allows, Mr. Chairman, I can continue. Yeah. It allows us to continue riding without helmets on motor vehicles?
It's
the driver?
It's the discretion of the...
Senator Huggins?
Yes, at the discretion of the rider.
At the discretion of the rider?
Correct.
Mr. So Chairman, is your plan to move this bill out today?
Time is not critical. We'll have a brief at ease. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the concern that I have has to do with the helmet law. Obviously, there was a bill that was in place a number of years ago that I thought was very unfair, had to do with people having to wear helmets with motor vehicles, and obviously in my district where you've got snow machines out there, they were in violation, obviously. Fortunately, nobody was cited that I know of, at least in my district, and I've got a concern about this as well, and I'd like to have a look at it a little further.
Okay.
To make sure that it does indeed affect people in my district adversely, where helmets are just not necessarily available.
I will go ahead and remove my objection to amendment number one. Do we have further objection to amendment number one? Okay, seeing no further objection, we'll adopt amendment number one. We're going to go ahead and set this bill aside for further work. We will take a look at it in the future. We'll go on now to Senate Bill 237. Senate Bill 237 by the Senate Education Committee regarding school construction debt reimbursement. This is the first hearing on the bill. The intent is to adopt a committee substitute, take public testimony from the sponsor, take testimony from the sponsor, and then take public testimony, and then set the bill aside for further review. With us today is Senator Meyer, the bill sponsor. But first, I want to go ahead and adopt the version S. Senator Hoffman, we have a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 237 Finance / S as a working document.
Okay, I'll object for explanation. Senator Hoffman?
We have Jay Livey that's going to make the presentation.
Mr. Livey?
For the record, Mr. Chair, I'm Jay Livey, staff to Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Livey, if you can explain the change on version S, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The purpose of the committee substitute before you today is to address the way in which state funds are used to pay for school construction. Our objectives are, Mr. Chairman, is to provide a more predictable method of funding for both the RAA districts and the municipal districts. The first two sections of the proposed legislation address the construction of RAA schools. Section 1 contains legislative findings, which, among other things, refer to the Casile versus Alaska court case. This is a case that was introduced probably 7 or 8 years ago. And has not been finally settled, but in that case, the judge noted that the state had a statutory process for funding municipal schools, and that's through the debt service program, but it had no comparable program for funding REA schools, and the court further went on to say that this situation created an unfair environment in terms of money available. And, Mr. Chairman, we believe that it also creates an environment in which REAA funding planners have considerable uncertainty about funds available. When they're uncertainty about whether money is going to be available, it makes it very difficult to plan for future construction of buildings. Section 2 of the bill, Mr. Chairman, addresses this deficiency by creating a fund from which RAA construction dollars are dispersed. Now, money is deposited into the fund according to a formula which is linked to the outstanding debt amount for municipal schools. And the formula works like this. The outstanding debt amount for municipal schools represents what the state's obligation currently is for the amount of money to fund for new construction in schools. As we noted in the findings section, this amount, Mr. Chairman, is about $1.2 billion, and Department of Education representatives expect this amount to be about the same over the next 20 years. Some schools are paid for, new schools come on, so the amount stays about the same. The findings section also notes that there's about $515 million that has been spent recently, in the last 10 years or so, on REA schools. In addition, Mr. Chairman, there's a backlog of about 10 or 11 REA schools that need to be funded over the next few years. So if we do the math, Mr. Chairman, we find that the amount spent in municipal schools is higher than the amount spent in REAA schools, and the REAA school amount is higher by about 28%. So if we multiply the outstanding debt amount, the $1.2 billion, times 28%, and then multiply this amount by the percent of all students that are REA, of all students which are REA students, which is about 12%, we get a final result of about $40 million a year. So what this bill proposes, Mr. Chairman, is using this formula, taking 28% of the outstanding debt amount each year, further multiplying that result by 12 by the amount of, by the percentage of which REA students are of all students, and coming up with a dollar amount that's put in a fund each year for REAA construction. The fund has several aspects to it, the first being that the money is spent from the fund by the Department of Education in the same manner as they would decide REAA schools now, in terms of having it, it has to meet all architectural requirements, planning requirements, be approved by the approval process at DOE. Second, Mr. Chairman, the fund, the balance of the fund can't exceed $100 million. So should there be a year in which there is no REAA major construction fund or school to be built, then the money would not be spent that year, it would just accumulate into the fund. But in no event, Mr. Chairman, would it accumulate beyond $100 million. We believe that this process will provide some certainty to REAA construction planners and to the Department of Education that some money will be available every year. It provides a statutory comparable process to the municipal debt service process. Now, the third section of the bill, Mr. Chairman, addresses municipal districts. Currently, the state reimburses municipal districts at 70% of their outstanding debt for school construction. However, the statute must be renewed every 3 years. What we propose, Mr. Chairman, is that we make this 70% permanent. Again, using the same process, we believe that this will reduce funding uncertainty among district planners until the law might ever be changed. They would be assured that 70% would be available to them. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I might note that the backlog of 11 schools of $344 million, we're trying to address three of those schools, and in order to address the others and the other remaining eight schools, it would be my hope that they would be addressed during the course of the next 2 years. We're not asking that be committed to, since one legislature can't commit another legislature, but it would be my hope that they would be addressed during the next 2 years, and that would break the backlog. We did not ask that all of them be funded this year, because that, I think, is asking too much. And I might also note that the $40 million is a minimum, and the legislature can provide additional funds if they so desire. So that I just wanted to make those two statements, Mr. Chairman.
Maybe we should, because we're just on the explanation of the CS. Do we have any questions on adoption of the CS? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. Do you have any further objection to the adoption of the CS? Okay, so we have version S on the table. I'd like to go to Senator Meyer to I know he's spent a lot of time on this bill and this subject, not only this year but several years. So if you could walk us through this bill, Senator Meyer, and we may want to define the rural attendance area for those living at or watching at home that may not be as familiar with how the school cost allocation is directed around the state.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the bill originally started out as just a simple extension of the current 70-30 debt reimbursement program that's in place. And we normally extend this for 2 or 3 years at a time, and when we do so, we try to then also incorporate rural schools that need construction. So what this process does, what this CS does, as the co-chairman has explained, and his trusty staff here, just formalizes a practice that we've already been doing. That every time we extend the
the 70-30 program for the urban schools, that we also try to pick up some rural schools. So this just puts it in statute and allows us, makes it so that we don't have to review it every 2 or 3 years, that it's just, it's ongoing. So I support the CS and the suggested changes that the co-chairman has recommended.
So where, Senator Meyer, where in the state do we need schools? Do you have a feel for that, or?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I can only speak for the Anchorage area. We every year have school bonds come up on the local elections, and I know that in Anchorage in particular we do have quite a backlog. Sometimes they pass, sometimes they don't, so that you know makes the backlog even larger. But this program's in place for all the 70-30 program's in place for all the municipalities and urban schools to take advantage whenever they need to. Here in Juneau, I don't know if they take advantage of it every year like we do in Anchorage. And again, I don't know what the situation is in the Valley or Fairbanks. I believe the Valley also has a fairly large backlog, Mr. Chairman. But to answer your question specifically, I don't know how many new schools are needed in the urban areas.
Well, speaking as a elected official for a good majority of Southeast, we need kids and jobs. We've got more school capacity than we have children. I know that's not the norm around the state. Matsu, I think, is Senator Huggins, do you have any idea what's coming in Matsu for the?
Well, I think it would be fair to say that if you talk to the school board members, there's something from 4 to a half a dozen schools that, at a minimum, that need to be constructed to keep up with the student growth.
We have other questions for bill sponsor. Senator Hoffman, do you have any comments you want to make on the?
Well, I think that just in closing, I think that this is being presented today. I had initial conversations with Carol Como, and I forget the superintendent's name in Fairbanks, but hopefully they'll be looking at this legislation favorably, and we can get the concerns for construction of schools in urban and in rural Alaska behind us, because I know that that has been, in past years, has been a pretty contentious issue, and this could potentially be a solution to that.
Any other initial comments? We have one fiscal note in your packet from the Department of Education showing the cost of debt reimbursement starting in FY13 at $3,700,000. And we have, going to the public testimony, we have no one on the call-in online. And we have no one signed up in the room. I see a hand raised, so we'll go ahead and have you come forward. You can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Yes, my name is Andy Story, and I'm a six-year member of the Juneau School Board, and I'm speaking on behalf of the board today. We are in favor of this bill. This bill has been very successful in Juneau. It really helps us with our major maintenance. We have been working through our list diligently over the years with the community and trying to upgrade and take care of our buildings so that they stay in the shape they were meant to be in good learning environments, fresh air systems, generators, energy efficient, all of that. And I think our district belongs to the Association of Alaska School Boards, who is also in favor of this bill. We really like to see our rural schools flourishing, looking good, as well as our urban schools. As I talked a little bit ago, schools are the center of our communities. They bring a lot of civic pride, and it seems like this bill is a way to address major maintenance issues in the communities, as well as those schools who are growing and need construction. So thank you for the efforts to address these issues in Alaska.
Okay, thank you for your testimony today. And we have, I see representation from Department of Ed. It's a fairly large policy discussion on the table today, so even though I see that no one has signed up to participate here at the meeting, I thought I'd invite you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. Mr. Chairman, you've received a very thorough explanation on the amendment, and I'm here to answer questions today.
Does the department support the bill?
Mr. Chairman, the department's neutral on the bill.
Do you have any questions for the department? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
second. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Jeans, as you look at the construction and how it's been since you've been here longer than I have and seen the progress and certainly the schools that are out there, what kind of changes do you see anticipated if this bill was to pass and go into effect?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, with the amendment, I see that there's definitely would be coming a request from the administration on an annual basis for at least one school construction project. The legislature over the past 10 years has funded a number of construction projects in rural Alaska, and so I would say that the construction of major maintenance needs around the state are being addressed fairly well in the last 10 years, much better than I would say the 10 years prior.
Mr. Chairman, one follow-up question. If I could.
Yes, go ahead.
As you look at the Kasaila case and the court-ordered decision that was, or the court decision that was there, as well as the order that came out, do you think this, I just want to know for sure that do you think this is going to go ahead and put the state more in compliance with what the judge requested or ordered?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, that's a difficult one to answer because the Kasaila case is kind of lie dormant for a number of years. But I think part of that is because the legislature has provided funding for many of the rural schools around the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief comment regarding the testimony we heard. And I agree that the legislature has addressed rural schools. The problem is the administration in the last 10 years has woefully ignored rural school construction. The governor's office has not come forward with any major school construction. I know that there's been times when we funded schools under Governor Palin, and she came in and requested a substantial portion to finish those schools. But for outright new construction of rural schools, I think the administration during these 10 years has not lived up to that, although every year, every single year, the administration has requested every single penny that's needed to pay off the bonded indebtedness, and the legislature has funded that. So although the legislature, the comments you made are true, it is the comments cannot be made. The same comments cannot be made of the executive branch's commitment to rural school construction.
Thank you, Mr. Jeans. If we could have you get back to the committee on, say, the last, I know there's been comments on 10 years, but if we back up 20, that seems to be quite a leap back. And if you can give us a synopsis of what was spent in the rural and non-rural areas on school construction the last 20 years and where the schools were and the funding source between the state and the municipalities or all state, or so the committee has a longer history and maybe break it down in decade increments.
Mr. Chairman, we'd be happy to provide that to the committee. One point of clarification, that the report that I provide would be regional education attendance areas versus organized areas, right, regardless of funding source.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Help us with the history of the funding. So we're any other questions for the bill sponsor or the department before we set this bill aside for further review? I'd like to, we're going to set this bill aside for further review, and I'd just like to remind the committee members it is a large policy statement. We need to take a look at this and look at the analysis coming forward.
Sorry about that.
And we'll be bringing this bill back. Unless there's other additional comments from committee members, this will conclude the morning section. We'll reconvene at 1:30 today. We have four bills on the agenda this afternoon: Senate Bill 247, extending Board of Pharmacy; Senate Bill 248, extend Board of Marital and Family Therapy; Senate Bill 262, extend Board of Social Work Examiners; and Senate Bill 263, extend Board of Professional Counselors. If there's any comments or concerns, meeting's adjourned.